trust him, but I ain't no. I don't think I can do it tonight.
I don't know if I'd be up to it.
Maybe a little later. All right. Thank the Lord we're here tonight. I tell you what, I've been chomping at the bit to get back in. Because I've talked to several people today. They say, you going to preach tonight? I said, well, if I don't preach tonight, I reckon I'm going to just go on home. But no. But like I said earlier, I do thank y'all for your prayers. Appreciate you for the cards and everything that I received. But, you know, we need to be mindful today that we have the flesh to deal with. And as we deal with the flesh, we deal with things that we don't have control over. And not only that, we don't have control over, but we sometimes will just allow things to take over our life, and the next thing we know, we'll be just doing whatever we can. But last Tuesday, when I got the news over the doctor said it could be one or two things, and there was many strokes, or it could be MS. And it kind of, in a way, kind of shocked me. But, you know, I had my moment right there, and I, you know, it don't know with how strong you are in the Lord and everything. Sometimes, you know, you're just going to let go. Well, I had my little weeping spell, but then after that, I did not sleep any at all Tuesday night. I was up all night, I was awake, and I was praying. And I got to reading some scripture in the book. And you know something that's comforting to know. And I got up and got to thinking about some things, and how can anyone go to the hospital and hear bad news or not even hear no news at all, and not know the Lord? See, it's the Lord who's got me through all of this. And the Lord's going to keep me. He's going to make sure I get through it also. And I have felt better this week. Since last Wednesday, I have felt better than I have in 2 or 3 months. I really have. And I felt a touch. My prayers is it was a touch of the Lord. Thank the Lord for the doctors. Thank the Lord for the doctor that right now is looking after me, because he's a Christian. He is a Christian. He gives back to the community also. Not only does he give back to this community here in Danville, but he gives back to his own home country. Last Wednesday afternoon, he left and took a flight back to South Africa, where he come from. And he's still over there. I understood today that in talking to Brother Gil Hawks, that, that he knows that he goes over there, and when he goes over there, he goes and he doctors over there his own people. Here, he don't need the money. I've heard people tell me that he could buy the hospital two or three times over, pay cash for it. But I do thank God for the doctors. I really do. But here in John chapter 1, I want to think about the thing tonight about how to get people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll notice here also that Jesus is speaking. We also know that we see that Andrew is speaking. We see that Simon Peter, he's also speaking. And we can see so many things in these few verses that I'm going to read. And if we'll take these at heed and we'll look at them and see what the Bible says about these few little verses. But here in chapter 1 and verse 40, let's go back up to verse 35 and read down. St. John chapter 1 and verse 35. And again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saying unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou art called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsheba, Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can thou any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Let's go back up to verse 40. It says one of the two right here, was no doubt speaking to the dear brother that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the dear brother was Simon Peter's brother, which is Philip. But right here we see where John is speaking. And as John spoke unto the two disciples there, he spoke to Andrew. He spoke to Andrew and said, Andrew, now you go to your brother. You go to your friends. You go to your home and allow the people to hear from you. Andrew wanted his brother Simon Peter to know him. So he goes after him. Let us look at Andrew in action and observe how he won his brother to Christ, that we might follow his example. He sought him. He sought him out. He went and he looked up his brother. Sometimes we, as individuals, we will call our family. Sometimes we'll call our brothers and our sisters in the flesh. And we'll talk to them on the telephone. Talking to them on the telephone is not like talking to someone personal. You've got to have that personal between you and them, that they can see you and they can see the expression on your face. Now, when they see the expression on your face, not only and truly now, you have got to realize too, also that they can truly look to thee for thy strength. They can look at you and see him within your own face the love that you have for them. We don't need to call people. We need to go to them. We need to go right to where they're at. And we need to seek them out. And I said right here, in the first, where Andrew was seeking out Philip, but that wasn't it. Right here says where Andrew was seeking out Simon Peter. And he wanted Simon Peter to know that there was a heaven to gain. He wanted his own brother to know that there was a hell to shun. But he knew that he had to do what he had to do to get him to Jesus. We can explain to them. We can talk to them all day long. But it comes down to the preaching of the word of the living God that will bring all sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take an extra step on that, which a whole lot of preachers won't. They says it's not, that's not biblical, but I disagree with them. I believe that anyone that takes the gospel and shares it with somebody else, that they are preaching the word of God. Because it teaches about that. It teaches about them preaching. It teaches about the evangelist. It teaches about the missionaries. It teaches about going out and obeying the scripture. Now, we also know too that not only he first findeth his own brother Simon in verse 41, to find and to win the lost to Christ, three things are necessary. We must know where they are. We can go to the city of Danville or the Chamber of Commerce, either one, and we can go and we can purchase a book. It has each and every individual's name in that book. It has their address. It has their home phone number. It has their work address and the work number. So we know where they live at. We can find out where they live. Plus now we got the internet, can find out a whole lot more than that. It can find out the very moment. If you move from this place to within the next hour and the next 2 hours, you're going to be living somewhere else. All you have to do is just get on your iPhone. You can get on the iPhone, you can get on the internet, and you can find them right where they're at the very moment. That's the reason I believe that God has allowed us to be able to have the iPhones and the internet, and yes, the iPads. Because God has brought all of these things in for the use for the Christians to use. And I've had some preachers that tell me, says, I don't have a computer in my house. I don't have the internet. I don't have any of that in my home because they say it's wicked. It's wicked. And this, I tell you, the internet, the iPhone, the iPad, none of that is wicked unless the one that's using it, if they're wicked, yes, the internet's going to be wicked. Because you can get more good out of the internet if you use it the right way. Because it takes you to punch in the letters on the keypad. And once you punch the letters in, yes, it's going to go right to what you're searching. If it's vulgar material, what you're searching, it's going to bring it up. If it's Christianity, what you want to see, then it'll bring it up. It'll bring up the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church, the authorized version, King James Bible. And I may be stepping on a boundary right here, but there's no one that I know of today that stands in the pulpit and preaches from a authorized version of the 1611 King James Bible. This is the closest thing that we have to it. Because there's some words in it we don't understand. There's some words we don't know how to pronounce. It's in the AV 1611. We can't pronounce it. Why? Because they were spelt back then. It was translated from King James in early 1600, earlier than the 1611, it was translated then to the 1611. Then the 1611 was translated to the English-speaking people. That's the reason we have the King James Bible. And I call it the King James Bible because it is the King James Bible. And in 1611, you know how show was spelled? S-H-E-W. But one word that they have never changed. And that is the word thy. T-H-Y. That's in the 1611 King James. It's also right here. It's some other words. It is still in the English speaking. It's still in the King James. I mean, 1611. But we can't read it like we normally could. I don't want nobody going around and saying that I don't believe in the 1611. Yeah, I believe in the 1611 because that's where we got the King James Bible from, the 1611. It was transmitted down to the 1611. But we must know where they are. And it's talking about the census. How many years do we have before we have another census? It's on a 10-year basis, where I understand it. Every 10 years, they have a census. What they do, they go out and they make sure that individuals live at this home. We must know them by the name. You know, when you approach somebody and you ask them, do they know the Lord? They say, well, how do they know me? We don't know them. We didn't call them by the name. But if we call them by the name, then we say, do you, Catherine, or do you, Paul, or do you, Donnie, or do you, Bill, or William, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? See, because when you can interact between them and you knowing their name, then you can show them in God's word. John 3:16. And when you read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave Donnie, that's who, where the whosoever comes into play. That's who I am, the whosoever. That's who you were, the whosoever. The whosoever. Thank the Lord for the whosoever. Thank the Lord that he looked down on me one day. Thank the Lord that he looked down on me one day. Thank the Lord that there was other people out here that looked down and knew me. They come to my home and they brought me the gospel. And also we need a personal visitation. We must know them by the name and something about their background. We cannot have too much information about a prospect we are trying to win for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be interested enough in them to do something about it. This calls for dedication and much prayer. How many of us today is really dedicated unto the Lord? Dedicated enough that we're willing to go out here and tell somebody about Jesus, to find out about where they live. What are their names? Where do they work at? Do we understand that we must find out as much as we can? And if some things that we can't find out, then we need to go to the Lord in prayer and we pray to God. Say, God, can you reveal unto me some things about this individual that I need to know before I can go visit them? And you will be surprised. Within a day or two, or maybe within an hour or two, someone will be done called you and say, I'd like for you to go visit so-and-so. They just live down the road from where I'm at.
The same person, it was the same person that I was thinking about. What did, how much do you know about? Well, I know where to work at. You do? And the reason you can find, the reason you need to know these information, so when you get there, you can talk about work. You can talk about the jobs. Because people today love for you to talk about things that they are interested in. I mean, if you got somebody out here that I need to go visit and everything, he don't go or they don't go to church on Sunday. They don't never even think about the church house of God, or even think anything at all about Jesus Christ, but yet on Sunday or Saturday they'll go out and they'll go down to the Bugs Island Lake or Smith Mountain or Field Pot. They'll camp overnight, and then after they camp overnight, then the next day they'll be up and out fishing. And knowing a little of that information helps me in getting to know them a little better. Because I can tell them, I say, you know something, that was one time in my life that I used to be on the lake on Saturday. Then I'd go back on the lake, and I'd be on the lake again on Sunday. And I'd fish all day long on Sunday. Me and my brother-in-law would go on Sunday. I know what it is. I know how you enjoy that. I said, but you know something? I'll tell you how you can enjoy it much better. If you want to be a fisherman, if you really truly want to be a fisherman, you can be one of God's fishermen. You can be one of His servants that goes out and fishes for men and women. And yes, and after you do that during the week, then on Saturday, if you get free time on Saturday, then you can go to the lake on Saturday and you'll be surprised. How many times you've wasted your time down on the lake on Saturday. And you just say, oh, why ain't even come today? I ain't caught nothing. Well, as many times I didn't catch a thing on Saturday or Sunday. But then I just gave it all up. I gave it all up. Why? Because I want to be a true fisherman. I want to be one of the Lord's fishermen. And I tell you, if they would just take that and go with that, they'd be surprised the next Saturday. They go to the lake. They put their boat in the water. They're out there fishing, and they go to their favorite cove or favorite spot that they've always fished at. As soon as they cast a lure in the water, they'll come back up with something on the line. Anybody that wants to work for the Lord has got something for them to do. Not only has the Lord got something for them to do, but you always have got something to do around the house of God. Don't ever think one moment that you have to come to me and ask me,
if you can do this or you can do that. If you see it, do it. Because when you take your time out and say, well, I'm going to ask the preacher tonight if I can do this down to church. Well, from the time you talking to the Lord about it, and then time you get to the church, it may be a few hours difference. But if you don't watch it, within a few hours, old Satan, he'll slip in. He'll slip in. And then when you get to church, somebody will shake your hand and you'll start talking. They'll start talking to you. The next thing you know, you'll be forgot about it. We forget of, we have our, well, I'm not going to say y'all's, but mine is. My attention span is no longer than that. It's real short. And that's the reason when I do anything, I have to write it down or I have to go on and do it then. And I'm still trying to teach my wife that. I mean, but you know, and also my daughter too. I mean, but you know, but because I forget things quicker today than I did 2 or 3 years ago. I reckon some people call it old age. I don't know. Oh, you done claimed that, huh? That's a Bill Huff thing. Okay. All right. But really, we must do what we can. We must be dedicated. And winning people. And we must be much in prayer as we go. We must be dedicated at the work that he's asked us to do. And really, I don't know why the Lord spoke to me about this tonight, but you know, because I know that each one of you, y'all have went through some things that I've never been through. And y'all are dedicated. Because I can count on each and every one of you for being here. If I know that you're not here, I know that you're sick or you're in the hospital. I know that. So that means I don't have to worry about you just missing church. Just say, I don't want to go tonight. I hear so many preachers talk about that they don't want to. They got people that don't want to go to church. They got people that just stay out. If you see that whether it's Walmart or Sam or Penny's or Bell Legas or something like that, it's got a sale on and it's just going to be on Wednesday. And when they get off of work, they're going to be at the sales. They're not going to just go at one. They're not going to go just Penny's. They're going to go to Target, and then they're going to go to Sam. They're going to go to every one of them. But each and every one of them sales is going to cost them something. But if they don't realize, if they come to the house of the Lord, And if they obey the Spirit of God, and if they lost, they get saved, that don't cost them one red penny. All they got to do is just believe and trust Him. Believe and trust Him. And not only that, when they do, they'll come to find out the sale that they was going to go to and get the 40 and 50 and 60% off, they'll come to find out that they ended up raising the price of it before it ever went on sale. They raised it. And I know this happens. I've seen them raise prices on the product up to 40 and 50% when they're going to have a 40 or 50% off. They don't lose no money. I mean, you think about it. How in the world can a place of business stay in business if they run these sales that they're selling? Some of them a day are running 80 and 90% off. Some of them 50% off, half price. How can they do that? They can't. It's impossible. Not unless they paying dirt cheap for the product that they're trying to save. But we must do all we can and what we can to get people into the house of the Lord and the preaching of the gospel. Not under me, but just they need to be under where the gospel is being preached. Don't make no difference what church is, just make sure it's a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church. Because that's what I believe in. That's what I believe that is the closest thing to the Scripture. Because it does not, the only name that comes about is talking about Baptist is John the Baptist. And ain't John the Baptist the church either. John the Baptist. But you got a whole lot of these other non-denominations out here, the Church of Christ. They claim that to be the true church. Then you got the Church of God. They claim that to be the true church. But it's not. The true church is Him. That's the true church is Him. Thank God that I'm part of that church. Yes. Our Father tonight, Lord Jesus, we just thank You. Father, for just being with us tonight. Lord, we just pray for each one of these individuals, Father. We know, Lord, that each one of them has a request upon their heart. And Father, because if they didn't, I mean, I don't know what else that they would need. But Father, I know they have special requests. They have special requests about family, friends, loved ones. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that You will just touch them. Father, I pray. Oh God, touch this church. Touch this body of believers. Bring the people in. And Father, and we'll do our very part in trying to teach them what the Word of God is saying. And help us, Father, that we'll go out and we'll learn a little something about the people so we can be an individual that's dedicated unto Thee. And doing what we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.